I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Sabrina. Sabrina is a mama of two, but at the time of this recording, she was still pregnant with her second. In this episode, we will therefore only hear about her first home birth. However, I can report that the second one was also an empowering natural home birth, and maybe we need to get her back on the podcast to share about that one too soon. Sabrina lives on a farm in western Colorado, but her heritage is from Afghanistan, and she comes from a lineage of home birthing women. So when Sabrina fell pregnant, birthing at home and birthing naturally was a given. She's a nurse and an avid supporter of empowering births, especially after having her own empowering experience, which we will hear about in this episode. Hi, Sabrina, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing really well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy that you wanted to come on and have a chat with me. So you're from all the way over in the Americas. Are you in Colorado at the moment?
I am, yes. Originally, my family is from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Immigrated to Colorado, which is very similar. We have a lot of mountains here, like back home. And that is where I am right now, over here in Colorado.
Beautiful. Well, I can't wait to hear about your birth story. So let's dive on in. Take us back to falling pregnant and deciding on how you wanted to birth your baby and why, and then dive into the actual birth story, please.
So my pregnancy, was definitely a surprise for us. We were newly married and had just moved into our first home, which we were also renovating. So, if you know, my family and friends know me, I just tend to do everything kind of at once. And so just when we moved in, started the renovations, I also fell pregnant. I think that prior to this, I had already decided I wanted to do a home birth. And there were several factors that affected that. I actually was in nursing school. So typically when I heard of birth, it was more the medicalized birth that you would expect in a hospital. But I also had a lot of people in my life that provided me some support when it came to thinking about natural birth instead of a hospital birth. Mm-hmm. One of the ones that I remember is especially my sister-in-law, who had two home water births. And she had given me this very rundown, well-loved copy of Spiritual Midwifery. Mm-hmm. And so those stories really resonated with me. And also hearing her being able to give birth in such a beautiful way at home with the pool kind of started to make me think, you know, this is something natural and something that I felt like I could do as well. And then my mother, of course, coming from Afghanistan, has come from a line of women who all birth at home. Totally normal. And although she gave birth to me in Colorado in a hospital, she did so without any sort of epidural pain medication. So natural as well. So I guess that kind of, was what led up to me considering home birth. And when I did find out I was pregnant, I couldn't imagine birthing anywhere but in our home.
Beautiful. Yeah. It really affects us, the stories we have around us and how our mother birthed or our lineage or our friends and the culture around us. And it sounds like you were really kind of primed into thinking that natural birth and home birth was normal, whereas most Americans might not generally think that, right? So how lucky are you having a mama who had a lineage of home birthing women before her? Yeah, beautiful.
I felt most of the time during my pregnancy, I also felt very in tune with that kind of ancestral part of myself. And I think that as well kind of gave me a lot of support throughout the birth, because I felt like this is natural. And this is something that my mother and my grandmothers and their mothers before them have done. And so it was kind of also a way to really own my heritage, being able to birth at home. So I appreciated that as well.
Beautiful. So let's dive on into the birth story. Can you tell us about your early signs of labor approaching?
Yeah. So I didn't have a lot of Braxton Hicks too early, but I would say that the 2 days prior to my daughter's birth is when I started having those kind of practice contractions. And it's kind of funny because my mother's birthday is January 10th. And that was also my due date. And it was also the full moon. And so we kind of had this idea that she would be born on that day. But lo and behold, we went to my mother's birthday. I had a lot of contractions, but didn't go into labor. And then on the 13th is when my daughter was born. That's when things started picking up. And so we kind of say that she wanted to make sure that they both had their separate birthdays. And that's why she waited.
Very important for little kiddies.
That's right. So I would say that I woke up in the morning after kind of a very uncomfortable night of sleeping. I just couldn't get comfortable and continued to have just very mild practice contractions, and woke up in the morning and felt like today is the day. Something just felt different that day. And I think that I had also noticed my mucus plug had dislodged at various intervals. So it didn't really come out at once, but it kind of came out in different increments throughout that morning. Mm. And then a little bit later that morning is when things started to pick up. Okay. So I called my midwife and just let her know that things are changing. And I had these two midwives, actually, one that was an apprentice and my midwife. And so I kind of got two for the price of one, which was really, really nice. Mm. And so I remember we didn't do much. I kind of paced around my bedroom for most of the morning. I think having those new feelings that I've never had before, I sort of started to nest and isolate a little bit.
And what and kind so, of sensation was that for you? So you've had like 2 days of like Braxton Hicks, and how were these different for you? And how did you experience what you would call real, in quotation marks, contractions or surges?
Yeah, I think the thing that definitely distinguished it was that they were coming a lot closer together than the Braxton Hicks, which I had had sometimes every 20 minutes to an hour. But this morning, they were really coming in either 15 minutes or as soon as kind of 5 minutes and 3 minutes.
Mm.
So that is kind of what I found to be the difference.
Yeah. They came closer together. So they were still quite mild. You wouldn't say that they kind of changed in feeling or intensity or strength, or that they moved somewhere else in your body or something like that?
I think from what I recall, I experienced them as those kind of, as most women say, those intense period cramps. And I feel like they did take me to a place where I needed to actually stop and breathe. But one thing that I realized later was that throughout my life, when I have had period cramps, I would have very severe ones. And so I didn't actually tolerate them very well in the past. I would typically take Tylenol or some sort of something to numb the pain and help me to get through them. And so when I first had kind of the beginning of labor, I didn't tolerate it very well. I started to associate it with those period cramps, which in the past I had used something to help alleviate.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that they were actually severe enough that I needed to breathe through them. But I think as going through the first time of experiencing the labor, I really was focused on them. And I feel now looking back that I probably would have been better to just go about my day and not focus on them so strongly.
Yeah, hindsight is a beautiful thing. And I guess that's the thing, you know, the first time you have your baby, it's your practice run. It's that, you know, and usually it takes a bit longer because you're figuring things out, you're finding your way. Your body's, you know, learning how to cope with it and how to labor and birth. And so it's that process, isn't it, the first time around to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And it is, like you said, you know, especially, you know, you might have been conscious about that before, you might not have, you know, if women, for example, suffer from endometriosis or really bad period pains or all these things, and either they have medicated through that or just associate that with, you know, there's maybe anxiousness or fear around that feeling, that's really important throughout pregnancy to look at and you know, work with, and maybe do some fear releases around, and, you know, because you probably will otherwise face that in labor, which sounds like in one way you did, but you did that through breathing, which is a beautiful thing.
I was happy that I did some research into hypnobirthing, and I would play those tracks, I would say, almost every night for the last couple months. And I think that if I hadn't taken that time to prepare, just as you would for anything, a marathon or a job or an interview, it would have been a lot harder. So that was... something kind of went off in my head and said, okay, you, in the past, you haven't dealt well with the period cramps, but this time you're prepared and you have these coping skills to use. And so that was very helpful.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. It's good to have some tools you can pick from throughout the labor process. All right. So you're in early stages of labor. You're walking around in your bedroom. It's, I'm guessing, the morning still for you. And then what happens then?
So I spent, I think, a very long amount of time focusing very much on those really mild early labor contractions. And my midwives arrived, and I had the sense that they also recognized that it was still a little bit early. And so I tried to change the environment and kind of walk up and down the stairs in my house. My husband, I remember, was very busy trying to run around and make sure that everything was prepared in case active labor started, and we had planned to use a birth pool. And so it wasn't until, I would say, a couple hours later that my midwife offered to check to see how dilated I was. And I agreed to that because at this point, they had increased a little bit and they were coming fairly often. And so she checked me and she said that I was 3 centimeters dilated.
Okay, that's good.
So, yes, I think looking back now, sometimes we hear the number and we think, oh, I have so far to go.
Yeah.
But dilation is not really linear like that.
Oh, of course.
It could change at any time. And so when she said that, I got a little discouraged, I think I remember.
Oh, really? Because you were still quite early. You'd just been laboring for a few hours. Oh,
yeah. Definitely, yes. Yeah, I was, and again, I think I was just so focused on, well, how much longer will I have these period-like cramps that I've struggled with in the past? But so that kind of, I think that gave me kind of a mental stall. I think that in another time, I probably wouldn't have her check me.
That's the risk. Yeah. Especially if you kind of have an idea of where you think you're at or, you know, as you said, you know, you're so wise and it is so true. It doesn't say much really in a sense, actually how dilated you are, because it can go really quick anyways, or it can take a very long time anyways. And it's very much, as you said, also, where's your mental state at, and how, you know, how safe are you, how relaxed are you, all of these things, how are you coping with the sensations and all of that. But you know, my reaction was instantly, well, that's great, 3 centimeters and you're first time mama, and you kind of just, you know, it's still the morning and you've just been laboring a few hours, and gosh, I would, you know, thought that maybe she'd said, oh, you're, you know, you still have a bit of cervix there to, like, you know, a phase, and you still, you know, you're 0 or you just 1, you know? So, you know, so interesting how we think so differently around these things. And it's important to make that decision before agreeing to a vaginal examination, going, okay, so what happens? Like, you know, what kind of result do I want? Or, you know, and can I live with and be happy with any kind of number? And why am I doing this? Is it really necessary? All these things, right? It's really important to have that.
And I think one of the biggest things I learned during the whole birth process is that typically I love to know anything and everything, and I just want to make sure that I am kind of in control. Mm. And there's no control in birth. and so kind of realizing that is probably what got me into active labor and my transition, which was a little bit later on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so she told me that, and I think that might have given me a bit of a roadblock. And so I don't think I was allowing myself to sort of surrender to the contractions. I felt more like I was just experiencing them as something I was suffering through. For a little bit. And so after another couple hours, I remember that we had walked down to our basement, sat down with the midwives and kind of relaxed for just a second, taking the pressure off and talking about something probably inconsequential like the weather. And I sort of felt like, oh, now I had a contraction that was strong. This one was different. And so I sort of said, let's go back up to the bedroom. I feel like I just need to be over there. And so we went back up the stairs, and I had a couple contractions along the way on the stairs. And I remember my midwife doing the pushing along my back, my lower back, which felt amazing. Really, really helpful. And kind of got back up to the bedroom. And at this point, my midwife suggested one of them that she would like to do something that she felt like would help the baby get into a better position. Mm. And she didn't have a name for it. She just said, essentially, I just want you to lay down on your back, and I'm going to put one hand on your belly and one on your lower back. And I believe I just spoke with her recently that it's called an abdominal maneuver. But at the time, we didn't have a name for it. And so I sort of said, okay, let's do it. Anything. So I sort of laid down, and she had her hand, one on my belly and one under my lower back. And my husband was actually next to me with his hands on my head. And I think I sort of laid there and took a couple breaths, and we were talking just about, you know, what she was doing and how it would sometimes help the babies get into more comfortable position for birth. And I was feeling, you know, even though I was having contractions, I was feeling relaxed, and it also felt so nice to have hands on me, which up until now, nobody really had besides my midwife, who had sort of pushed on my back. And I remember her hands feeling very warm, as if they were sort of emitting an energy. And while we were sitting there and talking, I had a contraction, my water broke. And so I, very, very amazing experience. I loved it. Not sure if that's funny, but I really did. It just felt wonderful. It was the pop and then the warm fluid everywhere. And mm. I think it also sort of made me feel like, oh, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And so my husband is a fan of Star Wars, and so they called it the Jedi trick, is what she named. And that was really nice. I think looking back again, that more than anything, it just helped me to relax through a contraction, allow it to do what it's meant to do. And that is what got things
moving. Mm, beautiful.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And so after that, things started to pick up.
Yeah, breaking off the waters usually do that. When you break the waters, everything kind of intensifies usually.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. I felt definitely a downward pressure. And I remember having to let go of a lot of things that I assumed and expected. And one of them, for example, I always expected that laying down while I was laboring or birthing would be counteractive. And it's typically not the best position, laying down for birth, as far as kind of comfort for the baby and positioning. But I found that when I laid down during my labor, it was actually very helpful for me. And so I sort of had to let go of these assumptions I had about myself and accept what was actually the reality.
Mm.
And so I laid down, and at this point, the contractions were very intense. I couldn't speak through them. They were coming about every couple minutes. And I remember I specifically didn't want to ever say, I can't do this. I had told myself before.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, I think, almost accomplish that, besides that at one point my husband said, you can do this, you can do this. And I remember looking at him and saying, I don't know if I can. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of how close I got to saying, I can't do it.
Yeah.
it was my way of reaching out. And of course him and the midwife said, no, you can do it. You can do it. And that was very helpful. And so another sort of expectation and assumption I had to let go of was the pool. So I did at this point get in the pool. My husband had filled it up, and it had been about, I would say, 7 hours by now since we started. And I remember getting in the pool and thinking that it felt great, and also feeling so exhausted, knowing now that I feel in the beginning of labor, I probably should have just gone to take a nap.
Yeah.
And instead I paced and paced and paced and exhausted myself. But
that's so it's a really good tip. And I don't know how many times, you know, me and mamas who speak on this podcast mention this, but especially for first time mama. Of course, it's really hard when you start to have those signs of early labor and you get excited and you want to kind of help it along. But you really nailed it. You know, your first thing you said, you know, I should have just kind of gone about my day. I shouldn't have focused so much on them. And then you said, now, you know, I should have just rested. And that's exactly it. Like, if anyone listening is a first time mama to be, like, this is one of the best things you can do in early labor. Just ignore it. Go about your day. If you can rest, then just rest. Like, you'll need that later, most likely. Yeah. So,
good tip. Just take a nap.
Yes, if you can.
Right. I by then I was very exhausted from not resting in the beginning, and so I got in the pool and I sort of felt. I think I also felt a pressure in the room that almost an unsaid that I was starting to get too tired, and that they weren't sure if I would be able to keep up as it goes with the labor. The thing that you have to stay ahead of is the exhaustion. That's sort of what I felt from my midwives. And so when I got in the water, I was very comfortable and my contractions slowed down.
Yes.
And so there it was. My midwife looked at me and she said, "You got to get out of there." I said, "Yeah. Okay."
Yeah. And this is also one of the things that can happen. And, you know, throughout your labor, did you have any labor aids? Did you drink any kind of, you know, water or cordial or coconut, or did you eat something? Did you nourish yourself throughout labor at all, or were you not able to really take anything in?
I would say that I had only a few sips of water when my husband would really, he would have to really bring it to my face and say, go ahead and drink.
Yeah.
And so I was low on fuel.
Yeah, this is really common because you kind of lose track of time and space. You don't really know. And yeah, sometimes we need other people to remind you and to prepare, you know, to have some labor aids, you know, some coconut water as ice cubes or cordial, if you like that, something that gives you energy and that's easy to just get into through sipping.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I do recall on one of the podcast episodes, somebody mentioned making those kind of energizing popsicles.
Yay. Yes.
When I heard that, I said, I absolutely am doing that during my next labor. That sounds amazing.
Yes, that was Fridur. Yes, that's a very cool thing. I haven't thought about that, but that is a really good thing because it's ice and it's full of nutrients and yummy.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the Natural Birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
It's a good thing. All right. So yeah, you're about 7 hours in, you went in the bath, that just slowed everything down. And now your midwife says, come on out. Let's get this cranking. Okay.
So she got me right out of there. And so I got back up and went straight back to the bed. And at this point, one of the midwives who was also, she had quite a large knowledge of herbal medicine. So she had helped me throughout the labor with raspberry leaf tea and different kind of herbal remedies for things. And so she suggested that I lay down with my husband, try to sleep, or at least rest, if anything, through the contractions. And she gave me some tincture that would kind of help. It wouldn't slow any of the contractions, but kind of helped me to relax and maybe get some rest. So they went ahead and did that. And we laid down, turned the lights off. And I think I remember the whole time thinking, this is ridiculous. There's no way that I'm going to be able to rest. I'm so uncomfortable. And my husband kind of placed his hand on my belly, and I tried a couple rounds of just breathing through the surges and trying to change my mindset on them and just let them do what they needed to do. And after about 5 minutes, I said, I got to get back up. And so my husband asked me, would you like me to go get the midwife and have her check you again? And I said, yes. I said, I want to know. So he went down and got the midwife, and she came up and checked me. And she said, well, all that work that you've been doing is paying off because you're 8 centimeters. And so that had almost the opposite reaction of the 3 centimeters. I felt elated. I thought, oh my gosh, it can't be too long now. And as soon as that thought hit my mind, I had one very strong contraction. And I recall my midwife just saying, I was almost sort of writhing, and it wasn't like a pain. It was just very intense. It was a full body thing. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of surrendered to it, and I didn't use anything like breathing through it or imagery. I just sort of let it take over my body. And my midwife said, while I was doing that, that's right. Let it do what it needs to do. And as soon as that passed, I had just a huge involuntary desire to push.
Yes. And that tells you, doesn't it, that it's not like, oh, you have to be 10 centimeters. No. Right. And our minds, oh my goodness, I love that our minds are so powerful, and how you in that moment somehow let go and went like, yes. And you relax probably body, mind, and soul in that moment. And then the body went, okay, then, and opened. And all of a sudden you could, you know, get the urge to push. So the power of our minds. It's quite amazing.
It was. It's very telling, I think. And it gave me a lot of knowledge going into planning for a second child and a second labor. Just again, allowing your body to do what it needs to do versus what I expect it to do. And I think I had done so much research into hypnobirthing and natural birth and other birth stories. And the one thing that I forgot was that every story is totally different.
Yeah.
And so I needed to remember that for myself as well, that it may not go the way the other stories go. And so it was that it clicked. And then this, I wouldn't even say that it was, I suppose, a desire to push. My body was just expelling. It was pure expulsion. So, and it, I remember feeling great. It felt amazing. I didn't feel the same as the contractions. It just felt so wonderful. And a break from, the past few hours. This was new and this was exciting and just, I felt alive. I kind of felt like electricity, when I felt that first. So at that point, I had been laying on my back when this happened, and somebody had asked me if I wanted to go back to the pool, and I said no. And that was another expectation that I had thought I wanted to birth in the pool. And realizing now, I think that I had a fear of tearing, and I had sort of an idea that if I was in the pool, I would be less likely to have a tear because of all the fluids in the water. But I remember sort of putting my hand down on my yoni and realizing that it is so many fluids and things are down there. So much, liquid and sort of lubrication is present. And when I felt it myself with my hand, I realized, I can birth anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the pool or here or there. My body's equipped to do this. And this is where I am. And this is where it's going to happen. So I sort of got up against a yoga ball. And I was leaning, I was on the bed, on my knees, sort of leaning over this yoga ball. And I believe after that first contraction, that was pushing, I had only about, two more. And that was, her head was out at that point.
Wow. That's fast.
Yes. And I remember my midwife afterward saying, you had, you took a little bit longer with your first stage, and I just knew that the second stage would go a lot faster. So I suppose she's experienced that before where it's, one or the other, but, I just remember feeling, her sort of moving down into my hips, and, it felt amazing. It really did. And then, so she, one thing also to note is that, we had only received one ultrasound during, my pregnancy, and, they had told us, that we were having a boy.
And at what time was that? At what time during pregnancy did you have an ultrasound?
It was the 20-week ultrasound. And we had actually had a very negative experience with the ultrasound technician, in general. And, she had, my husband is covered in tattoos, and she had, referred to him as, another rapper that exists in the world that has tattoos when we had first walked in. Oh. And so we were immediately very put off. And we had specifically asked her that we just wanted to know the gender and to be very quick. And she sort of dismissed most of the things that we had asked, and said, well, no, I need to look at every single thing and every single part. And so we had sort of an uncomfortable experience. And at the end she said, yeah, I think it's a boy. It looks like a boy. And that was it. And so when I was in labor, I feel, and I'm not sure this is just how I feel, but that a lot of the time I had been saying, we're ready for you, baby boy, and come down, baby boy, and this and that. And I also feel that at a certain time, she was resistant because she said, that's not me you're talking about. And it wasn't until I sort of surrendered to the birth and stopped, you know, talking about baby boy or this, or just kind of focused on the contractions. And that's when she started to move down. So sort of at this point, up against the yoga ball, I did actually move into putting one of my legs up, just sort of naturally. I don't know why, it just sounded like it felt more comfortable. And so I put my leg up. One contraction, she started to sort of crown. And I remember I had my hand supporting her head as she was starting to crown. And I remember at one point my husband going, well, can you move your hand? We can't see. And my midwife immediately looked at him and said, no. it's probably helping her, you know, support her perineum and yes. feel more comfortable. Just let her do that. And then he said, oh, okay. such a learning process too for the partner.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes. And so she crowned very slowly. I remember not really pushing, but just allowing the expulsion and allowing my body to do what it was doing. I didn't feel like it needed any effort from me. I was just sort of along for the ride. And I remember feeling her hair and just a thick head of hair and thinking, oh my goodness, she's almost here. You know, this is happening. And that gave me even more motivation and energy. And then during that third push, she came out, her head came out, and I could feel her little cheeks and nose, and became just even more excited. And so on the next push, I did do something. I added to the push because I was so excited. And so her whole body kind of came out at once. She was just a slippery little thing. and nobody actually caught her. I sort of, supported her down onto the bed.
Yeah.
And I think probably because my hands were in the way, nobody sort of had time, and I hadn't told anyone I was going to push her body out. I sort of was in my own laboring mother space and not communicating, just doing what felt right. And so she was born. I remember at that point, my husband saying, I think it's a girl. And my midwife kind of said, well, let's pick up the baby and get her cleaned up and on you first, and then we'll find out. And and so they brought her around to my chest, and my midwife, she's had 10 kids, and she's older. She's about in her 60s, going on 70s, and so she's very straightforward and to the point, and she's got a funny way of going about things. So she actually grabbed my hand, and she sort of put it on my baby, and she goes, do you feel anything? And I said, no. And she goes, then it's a girl. And I said, well, there you go. just having her out, I remember just, I felt no different knowing that she was a girl or a boy. I just felt so in awe of this baby and this spirit and this this little love that that changed everything for us. And I remember my husband was very tearful. He was crying, It was such a moment that's hard to even describe in words. It's just amazing. And I remember really feeling full of energy. Although I was exhausted, I felt on top of the world. I felt again that electricity, just what I had accomplished and what my baby and I had done together. And it was beyond words.
Beautiful. So you turned around and you lay down on your bed and you were skin to skin?
Yes. We were skin to skin. My husband also had his shirt off and he was with us as well. She always had her fingers in her mouth. She was a hungry baby. And so we essentially started breastfeeding almost immediately. Once she was on my chest, she just kind of made her way there and was breastfeeding.
Beautiful. And did you birth the placenta lying there on the bed as well?
I did. I do remember that it took a little bit. I feel now that we probably could have just given it a little bit more time. But I remember my midwife, she sort of was tugging on the cord to see if it would dislodge the placenta. And I don't think that I was bleeding very excessively or anything like that. So now I feel I probably would have waited a little bit longer, but she sort of asked me to focus on pushing it, and she sort of tugged a little bit on the cord, and I birthed that as well on the bed. And I remember her telling me, "Don't worry, this part's a lot easier. The placenta doesn't have bones." And I said, "Okay." And so we decided to not cut the cord until she had had all the last pulsing blood and circulation from that placenta in her system. And I think that was about an hour.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What made you feel like this birth was an empowering birth for you?
I think that that labor and birth, having done it now, is a very, very intense process. It's not painful like other pain, but it is work. It's hard work. And I think that I could not imagine, I couldn't imagine doing that sort of in a hospital. I'm a nurse, and so I know that I think that if I had had monitors beeping or an IV line or just being told that I couldn't have water, food, not being able to be comfortable, would have been very difficult. And so I felt empowered just being able to do what I feel is a natural process, just like any other process that we have in our bodies, on my own terms, in my own house, with the people that I really, really felt would support me, and that I never felt that I was being watched or that I needed to be acting in any certain way. I felt really accepted by everybody there. And I think that that is attributed to really choosing who I wanted there and choosing how I wanted to birth. And that's what made me feel empowered.
Beautiful. I love that explanation. so beautiful, Sabrina. If you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she would like to have an empowering and natural birth experience, what advice or pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would say that with anything that we do in life that is hard, that the most important thing is to really prepare. And I think that having a natural birth is entirely achievable, but that it is important to really prepare the same way you would for running a race or doing anything in your life that you've done that is hard. And so I would say that I would recommend that really look back and see in your life the things that you have really had to work hard on, and remember how much you prepared for them and put that same effort into the birth and labor, because it is such a one-of-a-kind experience, and it is something that really deserves just as much attention as anything else, like, you know, preparing for the baby shower and things like that, that it is, it's very important to do that research and give yourself all the best tools to succeed, whether that's the breathing and the relaxation techniques and the coping skills and having support if you need that from a doula or from your husband, and just preparing for the most amazing marathon of your life.
Beautiful. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Sabrina, for coming on the Natural Birth Podcast. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you do and for putting out these positive stories for us to hear. It has helped me so much in preparing and going into my second birth in October.
Yay.
I've really found it helpful to hear all those positive stories.
Beautiful. That's the intention. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.